have done much more than most administrations, and it's not really not talked about very much, but we've done actually a lot, but perhaps more has to be done. But this is also a mental illness problem. If you look at both of these cases, this is mental illness. These are really people that are very, very seriously mentally ill.
Ryan Doubles from CNN joins us now on what is going to be a very busy Monday for you. Good morning, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Steve. I'm actually in San Diego this morning. That's where Senator Bernie Sanders is going to be. There's actually a pretty big conference taking place here in San Diego having to do with Latino elected leaders and politicians. And this is all kind of tied into this situation with these shootings. Obviously, the first shooter was specifically targeting Latino Americans. So we expect this to be a big issue today on the campaign trail as well as just around the country. So a lot to look forward to today.
And allow me to introduce you to G. She's now a regular part of this thing, whatever we do every morning between 6 and 10.
Hey, Ryan.
And a big
hey,
Chicago
G, welcome.
Star who lost a bet and now has to be on this show.
So. I lost that same bet, G. It's worked out okay. Don't worry.
That's worked out. All right, so the president's going to speak this morning at 9 o'clock. The Democrat candidates would do themselves a favor if they stay out of it until he actually says what he says. Do you anticipate that'll be the case?
Well, they've already been pretty vocal in laying a lot of the blame on President Trump's feet. Beto O'Rourke in particular has been, this obviously happened in his hometown. He specifically talked about President Trump's, his attack on immigrant communities and what he described as President Trump's racism as part of this problem. Senator Sanders did the same thing yesterday in Las Vegas. We expect more of that today. I do think maybe they'll give him a little bit of breathing room this morning to see what he's actually going to say, if anything tangible comes out of it. But, already this morning, Steve, he's talking about perhaps new gun legislation, but again, got to be tied back to immigration reform. It doesn't seem as though he really seems to understand the moment here and what's happening. There seems to be a lot of anger in this country right now, and they're not looking for political deals to be cut. They're looking for tangible action to take place. And there's an opportunity here for President Trump to attempt to bring the country together, not use it once again as another political wedge issue. His early tweets this morning don't indicate that that's the direction he's headed, but perhaps we should give him the opportunity to speak this morning and see if maybe we're going to find something different out about where his head is on this.
There's nothing that indicates that anything's going to be any different in an hour and 12 minutes or so when he speaks. Here's a tweet from an hour ago. The media has a big responsibility in life and in safety of our country. Fake news has contributed greatly to the anger and rage it's built up over many years. News coverage has to start being fair, balanced, and unbiased, or these terrible problems will only get worse. Again, this is what's been going on for 2.5 to 4 years now, and that is, how dare you report what I say and what I do? And whether that's a lack of him understanding it or the fact of the matter is that he is trying to control the message, I don't care. One of the great damages, I mean, history will look back on this, I believe, 100 years from now, 50 years from now, 10 years from now, one of the great bits of damage that Donald Trump has done to this country is lump the Washington Post and the Chicago Tribune and the New York Times and WGN Radio and everybody in with the crap that he adheres to, the stuff that he reads, the stuff that supports him. The president is not there to be Putinized, to have stuff written about him that's delightful and charming. Your job, Ryan Doubles, is to tell the truth about what you see and hear.
Right, Steve, and it's dangerous. If the president's tact here is to solve the mass gun violence problem that we have in this country, is to limit the First Amendment. I can't see how he starts at A, comes to B, and then thinks he's going to get C out of that. It just doesn't make any sense. And furthermore, I think that the bigger problem here is that he doesn't seem to have an ideology on this. It doesn't seem clear exactly where he wants to go and how he plans on solving this problem. And I think that's been a problem with a lot of Republicans when it comes to this issue. They claim they want to fix it. They claim that they think that gun violence is a big problem. And they give a myriad of examples and possible solutions, but they don't act on any of them. And, there's a couple of very basic, tangible statistics that you can point to here in the United States versus the rest of the world. And the two biggest ones are that we've got more guns than any country in the world, and we also have far and away the most mass shootings of any country in the world. And so why then can't politicians then sit down and come up with a rational solution? solution. They haven't been able to do it. You know, it didn't happen after the massacre at Newtown when, you know, some kindergartners were killed. And I think there's a lot of people that argued that perhaps that's when the gun control debate was lost at that particular moment. This, once again, seems to be a new flashpoint. We thought there was a flashpoint after the Pulse shooting. We thought there was a flashpoint after Parkland. Does it happen now because of two consecutive issues happening at the same time? Perhaps the backdrop of the presidential campaign puts more pressure on President Trump than we've seen in the past. You know, I would point out, Steve, not to go off on a tangent here, but there's a tangible thing that could be done this week. You know, there's legislation sitting in the Senate right now that would, you know, expand background checks and close the gun show loophole. They could do that tomorrow if they wanted. All Mitch McConnell has to do is call back the Senate and put it up to a vote. So it's not as if this is some esoteric problem that's going to take years to study and they could solve the problem. I'm not saying it's going to solve the problem, but you could take a tangible step forward with one simple vote in the Senate. And at this point, still, there appears to be no will to get that done.
That's H.R. 8 and H.R. 1112 that closes the loophole and also changes the three-day waiting period to get a gun to 10 days so that all the various information loops can be tied up. Jisa, had a run.
Ryan, so I know it's disgraceful, as you mentioned, that any of this gets politicized on either side, but you did mention the campaign as a backdrop in this. Any idea on what his advisors are telling him, especially with the Texas vote being important, the Latino American vote being important?
Right. You know, the one thing that we found, G, is that President Trump has a lot of advisors to tell him a lot of things, and he, for the most part, ignores most of them. He, you know, he's very much is guided by his own North Star, which is, you know, his own opinion of things. You know, his advisors were throwing their hands up in the air when he attacked Elijah Cummings in his district in the city of Baltimore in the way that he did, and President Trump didn't seem to that didn't seem to matter to him. You know, we know that, if you recall, not too long ago, I believe it was after the Parkland shooting, the president, you know, publicly cut a deal that he was ready to do something on bump stocks, and he was ready to make some big changes when it came to gun control, and then he backed away from the table and got an urgent call from people connected to the NRA, and then all of a sudden he changed his tune. You know, I was talking with some colleagues last night, and I said, you know, the thing about President Trump is he's not necessarily guided by ideology. He's guided by a lot of things, but he's not somebody that has kind of a firm belief in many things. He's very much about what allows him to get to the next stage or to solve the next problem that's involved in his own personal life. And it's not out of the realm of possibility that he could go to the mic this afternoon or this morning and say, yeah, let's close the background checks. Mitch McConnell, bring the Senate back.
Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
But then he could also say that, Steve, and then turn around 3 days later and say, well, you know, I want the Senate to come back, but I don't necessarily want them to pass that legislation or something along those lines. So, you know, part of the problem here is that President Trump is unpredictable. We don't know where he really stands on this, and it's really hard to get something tangible and something that you could have bipartisan solutions to when the commander-in-chief isn't the one leading that charge.
I've written the fairy tale speech for him. Would you like to hear it?
Sure.
This is President Trump this morning, a little over an hour. It's time for action. Let's talk. Less talk from everyone, more actual action. I will defend your right to legally own a gun. I'll never defend murderers and terrorists, including white supremacists. I've said things in the past that groups have used to support your sick message. I'm here to say I do not support white supremacy. I'm here to enforce the law, and that includes bringing white supremacist terrorists to justice. Can you imagine how things could change in the immediate if he did that?
Well, I, you know, we haven't talked about that yet, Steve, but I agree with you that this white nationalism problem is just this cancer that it seems to be spreading throughout this country that at least the highest ranking politicians in our country don't seem to want to address, at least the Republican ones. And, you know, I think the Washington Post had a study a couple of months ago that specifically tracked the rise in hate crimes connected to places that President Trump has spoke. And he was not in El Paso very long ago. He wasn't in he was in Cincinnati, Ohio, not very long ago. So that's not to say that there's a direct correlation here, but kind of this overtone of the president's rhetoric in, you know, that's not to say the president himself is a white nationalist, although several presidential candidates did accuse him of that this weekend. But you know, it's part of what allows this problem to fester. When you don't have a president that's willing to stand up and explicitly say in very stark terms that white nationalism is a terrible thing that could ruin this country,
right,
but instead says things like there's both people on, you know, good people on both sides, right, like he did after Charlottesville, or when specifically asked if white nationalism is a problem, he said, no, I don't think so. And then, you know, there were high echelons of the government that were provided a report that said that white nationalism is a problem and domestic terrorism needs to be looked at, and it was pushed off to the side by the administration. This is something that he needs to take the lead on, and if he doesn't, you know, it's at least one part of an issue that's not going to go away, and that's not the only reason that there are mass shootings in this country, but at this juncture in time, it's a big part of it, and if you don't want to deal with gun control, at least deal with that.
Yeah, it's a contributing factor. Last word, G.
Well, you know, just going on what you were saying, Ryan, it's interesting that he has no problems talking about radical Islamic ideology, but why this huge issue with talking about radical white nationalism in our
country? It's such a great point. You know, Jeep, I think people forget after the San Bernardino shooting, which the perpetrators of that act were connected back to Islamic terrorism. It was shortly after that that President Trump, if I'm not mistaken, called for his Muslim ban. Called for all Muslims not to come into the United States, and that was swift. He made that decision very quickly. Why now can't he take the same similar stance when it comes to white nationalism, when we have multiple examples of white nationalists now rising to the level of terrorism and actually targeting people of color to kind of spread their awful hate? There's a clear pattern here, and you know, the president really, it bothers him a lot when he gets called a racist. It really fires him up. He fights back in a big way. Well, demonstrate that you're not a racist. Take this step here and show the American people that you can be the leader that reigns in this awful problem, because it could get worse before it gets better if there isn't the type of leadership from the very top that this country needs.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
That's Ryan Nobles from CNN.